Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Good afternoon, you're welcome along to World Cup Daily, and what a weekend of football that was. 10 matches since we've been last talking to you last Friday at lunchtime. We're here for the next 40 minutes or so. My name's Eoin Sheehan and this is Phil Egan in studio with me. Our plan today was to, you know, go along with the narrative around England. They opened their campaign tonight against Tunisia. They were going so beautifully under the radar. Nobody was talking about them as potential winners until the BBC messed it all up with this.
Kane! No more hurt. No more dreaming. This just got real. England, world champions.
Tonight at 10, England have won the Football World Cup.
Very proud day. Yeah, just a dream come true, really.
You might be able to hear from through the glass there, our producer, Ciarán, who's English, screaming to himself, what are you doing? And what are you doing indeed, BBC? What the hell are you doing? Everything was going so rosily well for them. They had brought the media in to play darts with their players. Everything seemed fine. They realised they hadn't a good team. They realised they had no hope of winning this thing. And then suddenly the expectation has just been brought down on them like a hammer.
They just can't help themselves.
They just can't help themselves.
Like you said, it was going along so nicely. You almost, there was a bit of love for the England team where you're thinking, you know, they haven't got many great individuals like they once had. This is quite a nice team. You know, it's a young team. It's building for the next World Cup. And then they did this. Mm. And it'll look even sillier when they draw nil all against Tunisia tonight.
It could well happen. It's been an unbelievable couple of days. We've had 10 games, as I say, between the last World Cup Daily and this World Cup Daily. If you've got any thoughts on anything that happened over the course of the weekend, you can tweet us at Off The Ball, or you can comment on the stream if you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube. We've got a poll on Twitter going at the moment to ask you what the best goal was over the course of the weekend. These are your options: Coutinho, Kolarov, Nacho, and Ronaldo's goal, the free kick. Ronaldo currently winning at the moment. The magnitude of that goal, I suppose, keeping that out in front at the moment. We'll close that poll in the next while, so keep voting on that one. We're going to be chatting, as I say, about the England game. We're going to be crossing over to John Duggan in Moscow very shortly about that one. We're going to be looking ahead to Belgium versus Panama. And Sweden versus South Korea, of course, is the early game. It kicks off in around 25 minutes' time. We'll also have Leon Blanche in studio with us a little bit later. Offtheball.com/Boyle Sports for exclusive offers from Boyle Sports today. We'll be bringing you the tips on that a little bit later on. But as we have to start with, it is the weekend and there were many winners and many losers, Phil. We're going to start with yours today in terms of winners. Who do you deem to be the big winners, the big takeaways from the weekend?
I think one of the big winners is, the viewers in Ireland. We get to see more Brian Kerr. Mm. A voice I know so well from Premier League Live that, you know, I know how good and how well prepared he is, but everyone gets to see it now. And then he has some great phrases. And watching the game yesterday, when Kolarov scored his free kick, he was described as dead-eye Dick. That was one of them. Then the word banger was used when we were watching the Denmark and Peru game, and Brian was referring to how Peru qualified for the World Cup and they had a little bit of help when Bolivia got penalised for playing a banger, as Brian called. So somebody who is, obviously, you know, I've played against teams that had bangers in them where they certainly weren't the age that they said they were. And I was watching the Morocco and Iran game and Brian was on commentary and he referred to Nordin Amrabat. It doesn't look like he's coming back on. He looks like he's banjoed now. And he did get taken off. It was actually Amrabat's younger brother that came on and he gave away the free kick that led to the own goal, which won it. But I know what a great pundit Brian Kerr is. Obviously, you know, he has so much knowledge about the game. You know, he's managed international level. He's just a brilliant football manager. But also, I've never met somebody that knows so much about football. So I'm just glad that we get more Brian Kerr during the World Cup. I knew he was doing games for the World Cup, but it only has struck me over the last few days that the more I hear him, the more I love him, you know?
Yeah, really. The Irish viewers who are lucky enough to have Brian Kerr, definitely one of the winners from the weekend. A certain handsome Frenchman was another winner from the weekend.
Yeah, Olivier Giroud. We talked about it last week that we thought he'd probably start against Australia. He didn't, but he comes on. There he is with his bandage, the Terry Butcher look from the 1990 World Cup. But he comes on and he had a hand in the goal, which I don't know how, by the way, anybody could credit that to Paul Pogba.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was non-goal.
Yeah, but what I think France need is Giroud as a focal point. And as soon as he came on, they just looked a bit better and they have a bit more function to the team. So that was something we worried about with Deschamps, whether he could actually get the right team. And he didn't pick the right team, but he certainly finished with a better team than he started. So Olivier Giroud, you'd think that he's going to start the next game because he comes on and...
Or does he just have so much of an impact as a sub that they just think to themselves, nah, we're gonna keep you for the last 20 minutes of every game?
He doesn't want to be known as a super sub.
No, but maybe that's the way they'll play him. Who knows? No surprise with your third and final winner this weekend.
Yeah, we talked about this guy last week.
You talked about him last week.
I just said, watch out for this lad, Lozano, who plays for PSV. He is obviously known as Chucky as well. Chucky, the freaky...
What's the story there again from why is he called Chucky?
Well, he has a little bit of a look of Chucky from Child's Play, but he also then played up to it that he used to hide under the beds of teammates and scare them, which would be quite scary if you're trying to nod off to sleep. And
small bit, yeah.
That would actually freak me out, you know? So he's the big winner. Not only did he get the winner, but, you know, he's playing for PSV. I'd say there's a few clubs. I think even before the tournament, there was clubs looking at him, but... Scoring a goal against the world champions ain't going to do you any harm.
Yeah, my big winners from the weekend, the first of them is going to be Iceland for sure. And I think everybody at this point knows what Iceland's population is. Everything has to be referred to as a fraction of their 334,000 population, just off the top of my head. Without question, the big winner from the weekend. This tweet caught my eye. Seeing people called Iceland boring and defensive as if that's something we're choosing to do. Our goalkeeper is a film director. Our right back has a day job making salt and got time off work to play at the World Cup. If you can't be happy for us, go jump in the effing ocean. And dead right there. Mexico fans are also massive winners from the weekend. Let's play you this video clip from them celebrating at the weekend. There's also a great one of them in Berlin, in the Berlin fan park.
I saw that, yeah.
They played on the BBC at halftime of that game. And you can just see the German looking around thinking to themselves, this is awful. Why are these people rubbing it in their faces? Outstanding stuff. Like, it's going to go some distance to actually try and top that as the World Cup goes on. That moment, the Lozano moment. It's just such an iconic moment of World Cup passion. It's absolutely vital to everything the World Cup is. Kind of like Peru, to be honest. They didn't get the result on Saturday, but their fans put in a serious shift. Look at this for a video, Phil. These are the Peruvian fans before the game, I think. Basically doing what the Ireland fans do. Shame, you know.
Don't see them changing tyres, though. Any nuns there?
No nuns there.
No babies.
They're not serenading, yeah. It's just been a stream of red, really, on the streets wherever Peru have gone in this World Cup. The percentage of their population that are there, I know this is kind of the old Iceland adage, is absolutely gigantic. Like 35,000 tickets or something sold to Peruvian fans, which given the distance they have to travel, given the population of the country, is absolutely phenomenal. The big winners, though, have been the commentators. And when you've got moments like Mexico and Iceland produced, it's easy to be an epic commentator, especially when you're this good at it. Have a look at this. And there have been some losers from the weekend. That was the Iceland commentator, of course, drawing one all with Argentina on Saturday. Loser Neymar, one particular loser for you, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely. I know there was a lot made of the injury coming into it, but he got kicked up and down the pitch last night. He actually got fouled, was it 11 times? There's a picture of him there. And 10 times in the match, he was appealing to the referee as well. But also, you know, you're going to get kicked if you hold on to the ball for so long. Mm. I just found it indulgent at times. He wants to kind of show, I'm back, you know, this is going to be all about me again. And the longer you hold on to the ball, the more opportunity you get to get absolutely kicked.
But he's better than all of us, Phil. He's better than everybody.
Look, he is. He's incredible. But I just thought at times that they... I can see if you're 3-0 up, maybe. 1-0, game ain't over.
No.
And look what happened.
Look what happened indeed. Everything's going to be fine with Neymar. Everything is going to be completely
fine. I wouldn't even say he's fully fit yet, so wait till the knockout stage.
I saw Miguel Delaney tweeting that he was hobbling badly in the mixed zone afterwards, that you would start to query whether or not they should have taken a Mo Salah approach with Neymar for him to come back fully fit, just to make sure they get their 6 points. They should be able to get 6 points without Neymar anyway. They're already a point towards that target now already, so yeah, they're going to be fine. Germany, though, on the other hand, things are looking a little bit more grim for them.
Yeah, we've obviously touched on Lozano scoring for Mexico, but I'm just thinking that the German midfield were the losers yesterday, especially Toni Kroos. Show what you, if you just take Kroos out of the game, it really disrupts the flow of Germany. And Mexico did it really well. They put Carlos Vela, Arsenal legend, yeah, Carlos Vela,
who was completely out of breath come halftime.
Yeah,
the engine was completely empty.
He kind of drifted in from the right, and he just basically planted himself on Kroos and just frustrated him. There was one stage where Kroos was having an argument with the referee, and the referee actually pushed him back to say, you know, get out of my face, and he still kept coming forward. And Cadeira was taken off as well. So I wonder, Mr. Gundogan, will he get a chance? Although he's not exactly Mr. Popular in Germany at the moment.
No, absolutely. Himself and Ozil there under the cosh from the German fans. Another fairly obvious loser for you, Phil?
Yeah, you obviously played the commentary there of the Iceland goalkeeper saving the penalty. But unfortunately for Messi, that's another missed penalty. 4 of the last 7. He's missed 24 penalties in his career. Now, he takes a lot of penalties, but maybe it's just me. I just think I seem to remember him missing a lot more penalties in the last couple of years than and maybe it's time you just say to Sergio Aguero, maybe you take the penalties.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Aguero's obviously missed a couple in his career as well.
Yeah, I just think given what happened on Friday night between Portugal and Spain, and I don't like comparing the two of them because I think you should just enjoy Ronaldo and Messi. It's not Ronaldo versus Messi. But there's so much pressure on Messi, and then he missed the penalty.
It's the juxtaposition of it, less than 24 hours apart. It's very, very hard not to have that. The biggest loser for me at the weekend came on ITV in one of the punditry chairs. Have a look at this.
Here in Costa Rica, and they're 5-1 in the World Cup. So I think they're a strong defensive team. My only concern with Costa Rica is that they don't score a lot of goals. Joel Campbell, who was their star striker in the 2014 World Cup, didn't score a lot of goals, isn't playing today. Urena hasn't had a good season in the MLS. So they don't score a lot of goals, and they're playing against a team in Serbia who do score a lot of goals.
That's a perfect link, thank you, Annie, to talk about the goal-scoring prowess. Oh, he's good, isn't it? Over Serbia, in Aleksandar Mitrovic, unfortunately for Serbia.
Every time you say something good or anything that makes sense on this show from now on, I'm going to clap sarcastically at you. And that's it. Just we're going to go with the patronising tone for the rest of World Cup Daily.
It's bad, isn't it? I mean, put it this way, if Henrik Larsson says it, Everett doesn't clap.
No.
So, you know, people trying to defend them, I don't really think they have a case.
No. His countryman as well had a pretty bad day on Saturday. Samuel Umtiti is another one of our losers. He did make up for it with this, his Instagram post, editing a basketball hoop into his handball, which was one of the most stupid handballs in the history of football, but thankfully it didn't cost him in the end. And lastly, the last loser and the big loser at that was Diego Maradona. Jackie Oakley tweeting this, South Korea fans shouting Diego. He obliged with a smile, kiss and wave, and pulled his eyes to the side in a clearly racist gesture. All of us who saw it are stunned. And that's the end of our losers for today. We will have more on this tomorrow after tonight's games. There may or may not be an English angle on tomorrow's losers. For the time being though, let's go to Moscow. Canada, after everything you've seen at the weekend?
Oh, we can get better. There's about another month of it. So we can get a lot better, lads. We can get a lot better.
You've got high hopes. Jared described you as the Forrest Gump of off the ball this morning, given all the major events you've seen.
Do you know what, lads? I've never seen that movie. I've never seen Forrest Gump.
I was going to say you could watch it, but you don't have time to watch it. Wait till you get home. Definitely watch it.
There's some strange things about me. I can't drive, I can't swim, and I've never seen Forrest Gump. So there you go. That's the first bombshell of the day on Broke Up Daily.
The skeletons have just come tumbling out of the closet. The bones are crashing in front of us and all around us. Just to reiterate for people, you saw the Argentina game in the flesh and you saw the Mexico game in the flesh. If you could pick one particular highlight from your weekend, what would it be, John?
I think it's just seeing Messi play football live, whatever about the actual, you know, result. Just seeing how he moves, you know, I would watch Messi for the whole game. I think he played well, actually. And was just frustrated. I think he's carrying the team on his shoulders. Had 11 shots, didn't score. Obviously had that penalty, which Phil was talking about there. Maybe harder for Messi from 12 yards out. Maybe it's the one area where he's, you know, if the keeper guesses the right way, that they can save the penalties. Seeing Messi play football at a top level is something that I think anybody would savour. But the story of the World Cup so far has been yesterday's result. Mexico, their fans were incredible, just incredible. As I mentioned on the morning show, that when Lozano scored, the lads were just throwing beer, plastic glasses into the air full of beer. I've never seen anything like that at a football match or any sporting event. So the fans were just brilliant. And Germany were flat. And one of my heroes, we're talking about winners and losers there, one of my heroes though was Hector Herrera. I thought he had a fantastic game in the middle of the park. Mexico, their coach has come in for a lot of stick, Juan Carlos Osorio, but he's very organised. They won qualifying with three games to spare. They won in the United States. They won 2/3 of their matches under him. And he's an interesting story. He really came up from his bootstraps, was obsessed with European football, went and studied in Liverpool, John Moores University, would hang around at Liverpool training, watch Gerard Houllier's training sessions, and would just not take any no for an answer. And then he ended up, was Kevin Keegan's, I think, fitness coach at Manchester City. And then he was working with Stuart Pearce at Manchester City, and he's also coached in Colombia. So he's an interesting backstory. And you're talking about winners and losers there as well. Croatia, I think, were winners. Denmark were winners. Peru were losers. Diego Costa, for me, was a winner. Mm. He started his World Cup very well. But, yeah, Argentina, Iceland, fantastic atmosphere. I really like this centre forward, Finn Bogason from Iceland. I think he's a really classic number nine, sets himself about, physical player, and lots of deft touches. They played their way, Iceland, their first World Cup match. And Argentina were frustrated, and I'd have definite concerns about their defence, their midfield, and I'd have concerns now about Germany if they're on a collision course to face Brazil in the last 16, because they're going to need to pull it out of the fire. And obviously, we'll see what happens to Sweden and South Korea today.
Just on Messi, obviously, you said you had almost had Messi cam on. Is it a case that Argentina looked to him too much? As in, as soon as you get the ball, you're like, where is he? I have to find him.
Yes, absolutely. Although he was not really marked at all by Iceland. Iceland just kept their shape with pretty much a 3-5-2 that they were playing, and Messi was drifting in and out. But yeah, get the ball to Messi. And he found the gaps too narrow almost. And he was frustrated all day, but he wasn't really helped. Aguero was sharp, but Aguero is not playmaking. Di Maria was, I thought, was invisible. And I just think that some of the players like Biglia was taken off. You know, some of the wide players weren't that impressive. So to me, they don't have that. They don't have the players behind Messi to me that to give him the support that he needs. And obviously there's a degree of anxiousness, I think, from him to just get the ball, because he wants to make that impact. But he's not Diego Maradona. He's not a similar type of player to Diego Maradona. I think it's been said that he can't win the games on his own. He's not that type of player. He doesn't have that burst, you know. He just lies behind. So frustrated, Lionel Messi, and there's pressure on them now in that Croatia game in Nizhny Novgorod on Thursday.
Yeah, there'll be plenty build up to that in the context of what happened at the weekend. We're 10 minutes away from kickoff in the first game. It is South Korea against Sweden. You're watching World Cup Daily here with thanks to Boyle Sports. We'll have some exclusive offers for you with Leon Blanche coming your way in a couple of minutes' time. But first, here's some of what Kevin Kilbane was saying on OTB AM this morning.
I wouldn't be backing them tonight, most definitely. I think Tunisia will probably sit in. I think they'll make it so difficult. I think tactically the way you're going to set up in this game as well. Out of all the 6-8 top teams, England will be the only side that's going to be playing with three at the back. So let's see how tactically England are going to be within this one as well. Let's see how they're going to go against the side that's going to sit in deep against them.
Kenny, not impressed with Kyle Walker as a defender, right? And was like, oh, I definitely wouldn't have him in there. But actually, as part of a back three, when Kyle Walker's best traits are to be an attacker and to add to the attack, does that maybe counterbalance the fact that you are playing with three at the back and that you've got somebody whose natural instinct is to bomb forwards?
Yeah, well, I think in this game, you can actually, you know, change your system, change personnel and play in different ways. I think that back three, if they stay fit, if they stay without suspensions, that will be his back three, I think, that's going to play the tournament. Kyle Walker, personally, I think you're taking something away from his game. I think him playing in the wing-back position, I think that will be absolutely perfect for him. I think his energy, the pace that he's got, I think he could be getting to bylines. Sometimes his delivery does let him down. I'm not denying that. But I think you're taking something away from him with his dynamic strength that he's got. Stepping in, I don't think he's the greatest on the ball. And I'm saying on the ball as in, if he's stepping into positions, is he going to be a player that's going to be able to step into midfield and pick a pass out? Personally, I don't see that from him. So I think you might have been better off going with maybe, I know John Stones is going to start the game, but maybe having John Stones on that right-hand side, who's able to step in, who's better on the ball and getting into more advanced positions. And then you've got Kyle Walker, who's playing further forward, and he's able then to get and play as a winger, essentially. That's the way that I would see it. But he feels as though that he needs to get Trippier into the side, who probably has better quality when he gets in wide positions. I would say that. And with that quality, he feels as though he can create more chances. That's the way that Southgate's seen it.
Yeah, Kevin Kilbane there talking about England on OTBAM this morning. We'll chat England in just a moment, but as I've said, it's 8 minutes at this point until the kickoff in the first game of the day. It is South Korea against Sweden. Leon Blanche of Boyle Sports joins us in studio. How are things?
Very well. Enjoyed the football yesterday. I thought Mexico were a breath of fresh air. Plenty of legs, plenty of endeavour, and didn't really look as if they were afraid of Germany. They really had a go, and I think more of the same. You know, the underdog should have a go at these perceived favourites, because Germany to me looked very flat, didn't show a lot of legs. Huge decision again, leaving out Sané. I mean, he's the one that has pace. They've got it all to do now.
Yeah, they really do. It's one of the great weekends of football, really, when you look back on it. I'm not sure was it a good or a bad weekend for the bookies.
Very good. Yeah. I mean, look, obviously Mexico beating Germany and then even Brazil drawing. I think a lot of favourite backers would have came back in for the last game last night. I tipped up Brazil and both teams to score. Nearly happened. But Switzerland getting a point against Brazil. Huge result for them.
Massive. What are we looking at in the first game today? As I say, it is about 8 minutes to get your bets on now on the Boyle Sports app.
Yeah, look, it's Sweden against South Korea. Sweden, they don't score a lot of goals. They haven't scored in the last three games. They're drifting out, actually, since I came in. They were 11-10. They've just gone out slightly to 5-4. And there's been a little bit of money for South Korea. 11-4 from 3-1. Son, of course, plays his football with Tottenham Hotspur. He's a very, very dynamic player. He is their star man. I think if I was having a bet in this game, I'd look at him at 11-4 to score at any time. But they are not in great form either. They've lost their last four friendlies. They've only drawn with Belarus in a scoreless draw. So I'd probably give this one, sit on the fence, 2-1 the draw.
Yeah, it's an interesting story coming out of the South Korea camp, how they switched jerseys to try and put off the spies, the Swedish spies that are trying to look at their training. But be interesting to see. But it's all about Hyung Sung Min, really. Yeah. He was so good. He's probably one of my favourite players in the Premier League. Always has a smile on his face. It's just a case, get the ball to him. Then they've obviously got Ki Sung Jung, who plays in midfield. He's the captain. So they've a few decent enough players. Sweden, we played them at the Euros. They're not great.
They were poor that day.
Yeah, we should have beaten them. We were a better team than them.
Definitely.
One thing we'll see in the stadium is a lot of yellow jerseys. They are very colourful. The fans, they do bring great atmosphere to the stadium. But they did well to get through against Italy in the playoff. But I don't think they're going to get out of this group. We didn't. Even what happened yesterday between Germany and Mexico. I would have thought Germany and Mexico were getting out of the group, and I very much think that now.
Yeah, John Duggan, yesterday's result is actually a desperate result for Sweden and South Korea, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll wait and see with Sweden. I wouldn't be as dismissive as that about their chances. I mean, they came through against Holland in qualifying to beat France. I know it was Lloris's mistake in qualifying. But they're one of these teams, of course, Zlatan, you know, they kind of had the chance maybe to bring Zlatan back, but they decided, you know what, it's like Aimé Jacquet and Cantona and Ginola back in 1998 for France. They're one of these teams that are greater than some of their parts. I think Denmark are a bit the same. And I wouldn't be writing Sweden off in terms of getting through the group yet, because Mexico are on such a high now that there's only going to be one way they can come, and that's down. So I think the Mexico-Sweden game could be a bit of a banana skin for Mexico. So it wouldn't be if Sweden can get through South Korea today. You know, they're well organised. As I said, the greater Forsberg, I think, is their star player. I don't think he's in the team today. He should be in the team.
But
he's the key man. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I don't know if you've got a price early on at them to get out of the group.
Well, they were third favourite, John. I'd have to check it to see now, obviously, after yesterday's, in terms of yesterday's result. I kind of agree with you a little bit in terms of Mexico. They went in yesterday as underdogs. They had a right go. They'll be favourite, I would assume, when they play Sweden. And it just puts on a different mentality for the group of players. But I don't know. I think still Mexico and Germany should get out of this group.
Yeah, they should do. As I say, as John said there, Forsberg does start for Sweden. They've just got through the national anthems, but it will be one hell of a shock if South Korea managed to beat Sweden there this afternoon. The other two games then, it's an interesting one. It's England and Belgium's group. It's Belgium versus Panama at 4 o'clock, which if Panama get within two goals of Belgium here, that would constitute a surprise.
Yeah, I think they'd be quite happy with this. Look, it's the first time at the World Cup. It's great for a country like Panama to be playing on the world's greatest stage. They actually beat Costa Rica 2-1. Now, I know Costa Rica had already qualified. They only won 3 out of their 10 games in qualifying, but Costa Rica were okay yesterday. Mm. They didn't play too badly. However, they're coming up against a Belgium team that just scream goals. 43 goals in qualifying. 6 wins by 3 or more goals in their qualifying group. And I think what happened to Belgium 2 years ago in France in the Euros, I think that will stand them in good stead. I think the experience of not going as far as they should have done. Lukaku, Hazard, De Bruyne, these players now are at their prime. And I think they should shine on this world stage. I'd be looking at something like 3-0 is a 5-1 chance. Minus 2 goals is 6-4. The charity bet is Belgium to win and over 3.5 goals at 9-5. I think Belgium will be looking at these two games to try and rack up some goals, because it's all going to boil down, I feel, to the last game against England to see who wins this group. And goal difference might just be the determining factor to see who finishes top. I still fancy Belgium to win this group. I think they've got better players than England. And I think they will beat Panama quite comfortably today.
Yeah, I think they will as well. I just think when you look at that Panama team, you mentioned the Costa Rica game there, which stuck out to me as well until I looked a bit deeper into it. And Costa Rica were already qualified before that game. And like, it was a freak set of results. The United States realistically should be there instead of Panama. Yeah. And they've just, it's just a perfect synchronicity for them. Like, most of their team is on the wrong side of 30. Their lone striker is like 37 years old. Like, any odds on Lukaku as well? We'll go to John Duggan in a moment, because like Lukaku's got 3 goals in the 2 warm-up matches they played. They beat Costa Rica comprehensively, Egypt as well, in warm-ups. They looked so impressive. And John, I don't know about you, but it seems that Kevin De Bruyne and some of the quotes he gave last year, he was giving out a little bit about Roberto Martinez and the style, and Lukaku's done it as well. It seems that we shouldn't read too much into this, because they just simply have too much quality on the pitch to read too much into any managerial issues.
This is the World Cup, lads. This is the World Cup. They're not going to be focused on friendly games, criticising managers or this or that. And I asked the production team, Raf, before the game, what price was Lukaku to score at any time today? I think he's 11-8 on with Ball Sports, which is not my kind of, it's not my kind of odds. But think about it. Apart from Diego Costa, Ronaldo, have we seen players that are going to be shooting 5 or 6 or 7, 8 goals this World Cup? Maybe Lukaku could be the one. He's 16-1 for Golden Boot. They got 2 tomato cans in Tunisia and Panama. Yeah. You know, he could rack up some goals here, folks. The way Belgium play with De Bruyne and Hazard, he could be 16-1. Could be a price. He could be 8-1 at the end of the group stage.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, that's a great shot. What are you thinking, Phil?
Well, I'm thinking it would be typical Lukaku to score against the likes of Panama and Tunisia. Maybe not score against England, and maybe not score against some of the better teams. I actually think Belgium are going to be a disappointment at this World Cup. I think Roberto Martinez is going to get found out tactically. I think if the company injury, if Dedryck Boyata is playing as a centre-half, every time I watch him for Celtic, he is just an accident waiting to happen. They want to play 3 at the back. As good as Vertonghen and Alderweireld are, Boyata is a weak link. Carrasco is not a wing-back. De Bruyne plays in a different role than he does. The only thing, I think Hazard is going to be incredible in this tournament, but I don't know if it'll be enough to get Belgium into the latter stages of the tournament. I just think Roberto Martinez, I still go back to the day that he got the job. I couldn't believe it. I just thought it was like he had won the lottery, that yeah. Roberto Martinez was the manager of Belgium. Like the some of the best players they've ever produced, and he's in charge of it.
It was a surprise decision. I mean, I think, and even Thierry Henry being his assistant, I think that was another crazy call. But Lukaku is 5-2 to open the scoring. And these are his type of games. I agree 100% with you, Phil. I think he will bang in goals against lesser opposition because he just bullies them.
Yeah.
But when he comes up against the bigger sides, we've seen it in the Premier League, he doesn't really step up to the plate too often in the big, big games. But the one thing I think with Lukaku, if he's not doing it, I think Batshuayi is not a bad option off the bench. And I think if against England, as you've said, if Lukaku doesn't look to be doing the business, they do have options on the bench. And I just think they'll win this group. I don't think they'll win the tournament, but I think they're just a better overall squad than what England have.
Yeah, it's a good point you make as well, actually, about the fact that the golden ball and the golden boot are necessarily linked inextricably. Like, I mean, Lukaku could score 5 goals in the first 2 games and have a terrible tournament. It's as simple as that. I should mention it's a minute old now between Sweden and South Korea. It is still scoreless. England versus Tunisia is the last game to look ahead to tonight. There's a lot to talk about here. We might just remind people as well that they can go on to offtheball.com/Boyle Sports. Some brilliant exclusive offers at the moment for new customers as well as existing ones.
Exactly. And we're going to do our main offer for today is Harry Kane to score and England to win. It's a 4-5 chance, but we're pushing it out to 2-1 offtheball.com/Boyle Sports. And I think, I suppose if you look at England, you look at Harry Kane and you feel that if he has a good tournament, England will do well. A lot of people are talking about the inexperience of the English squad. I think Gary Cahill is the only player to have over 50 caps. But I actually like what Gareth Southgate is trying to do. He's picking players that are playing well for their club. He's not picking names. And while I think this group of players won't win this World Cup, I think if they got to the quarterfinals, I think most of the people at home would accept that as a decent return. And I think if they stick together, they can only get better. And I think they're buying into Southgate. I think they admire him as a player. He actually played in 1998 when England beat Tunisia 2-0. But I think they buy into him. I think they buy into what he's trying to do. There seems to be a good camaraderie around the squad. I've read different journalists who've been out there who are with the England team. It's much more relaxed. It's much more open. They're able to talk to the players. Whereas before, under the likes of Sven and under Capello, they barely got any time. And I think that will help England. There seems to be a good, a feel-good factor about them. They should beat Tunisia. I think it'll be a little bit more tight than the Belgium-Panama game. I think Tunisia will try and frustrate England. But England at 4-9, you would expect them to beat Tunisia. Tunisia, however, are the top-rated African team, and they're 15-2, and the draw's at 16-5. But I fancy England, and I'd have to say I fancy Kane to score as well.
They only conceded 4 goals in 6 matches in qualifying Tunisia. I think this will be a really frustrating game for England. This is where they might struggle, where they play teams that sit back against them. I actually think this England team is designed to play on the counter-attack, and that's where maybe later in the tournament we might see the best of them. You could even argue that Jamie Vardy could come into a team later in the tournament. They would actually have the style, I think, the way they set up, to give Belgium problems. But this is going to be definitely a case of Tunisia are just going to sit back, say to England, come and break us down. And if you can't, then it's going to be a frustrating night. Harry Kane definitely... I know it's something you probably think I'm obsessed with, but lads that take penalties...
it's important, though.
It is.
Yeah.
As we've seen so far as well, I mean, with VAR in there, like, I'm not sure, do we have a higher average of penalties in the opening couple of games? We need a bigger sample size, obviously, to see it so far, but certainly VAR has helped the penalty takers.
Yeah, there was some good penalties over the weekend. There were some bad ones as well. Like, Messi's was bad, obviously.
Messi's was terrible, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, like, I honestly felt watching him go up to take the penalty, I never felt confident that he was going to score. And I don't even think, with his own record, he's a world-class player, probably the best in the world, him and Ronaldo, have your say. But the way he went up to it, I mean, there was no conviction.
Yeah.
And it was a fairly easy save for the keeper, really.
Paddy Bonner, height. Yeah. And, Christian Cueva, they're still looking for his
yeah,
penalty.
So I've heard as well.
That was a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, look, just with England, they're unbeaten in 10 games. They're not conceding many goals. I do take your point, as I've said myself, I think Tunisia will sit back. But I think with a little bit of patience, I don't think there's going to be loads of goals, but I think England will just get the job done.
John Duggan, are you having a narrow win for England tonight as well?
I'd say 2-0, lads. I'd say 2-0. I think he's already selected his team, from what I've read. That'll be Pickford in goal, a back three of Maguire, Stones, Walker, then Young and Trippier on the wings, Henderson and Lingard in the centre. And then we've got Ali, Sterling and Kane. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's
it seems to be reported here that that is the team. So look, I think as Leon said, they're England are relaxed. They're going to get out of the group. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Do they want to be topping the group if Brazil and Germany are going to be on that side of the draw? It actually might be better off to finish second in the group. So, look, they're a very young squad. I think the third youngest ever England squad to turn up at a World Cup. I think Sterling is very important for them. He's had a great season at Manchester City, 18 goals and 11 assists, despite the ridiculous publicity that surrounds him. I think he's a very important player. I think Harry Kane is a confidence player, didn't score any goals at Euro 2016, but scored, I think, after 79 seconds on his debut for England, thrives off confidence and also being fully fit. Obviously, do they lack a bit of creativity in the middle of the park? Is Kyle Walker a centre-back? That's something that, you know, is the goalkeeper in the class of, say, Thibaut Courtois, who's also in the group for Belgium. I was going to say David De Gea there, but I don't know how much his copybook is blotted by what happened on Friday night. But overall, he's an excellent keeper. So is Jordan Pickford of that standard? And obviously, later in the tournament, you have to worry about England's penalty record. 1990, 1996, 1998, 2004, 2006, 2012, they lost penalty shootouts. So mentality, that's right. It says to me that mentality is a real issue for them. So I think they're a team for the future. They're not going to win the tournament, but as Philip said, against better opposition, when they're playing with freedom later in the tournament, they could definitely be a surprise with the pace that they have. And Ali, as well, is a fascinating player. Not had the greatest of seasons for Spurs, plays on the edge, and this could be a chance for Ali, who's had a quiet time, to shine, you know, against some of the top teams, because he can play against anybody, Ali. But I think it'll look good at a 2-0 win for England tonight.
2-0 is 9-2, but if that's the team, I think it's a bold move by Southgate, only playing the one holding midfielder. So he's leaving out Dyer. So it obviously came down to a straight choice between Dyer and Henderson, and he's put Lingard in there. I'm a huge fan of Lingard. And I think he's got everything. I think he can score. I think he can assist. He's got pace. So it's a bold selection. I mean, you're talking Lingard, Sterling, Harry Kane, Dele Alli. Plenty of players in there that have got goals in them. But I think England are going to have to take their time tonight and play with a bit of patience, because as we said already, I definitely agree with Phil. I think Tunisia will try and sit back and frustrate them.
How are you feeling in terms of the overall picture at the moment after what you've seen at the weekend? Who are you tipping to win the thing?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Brazil last night in patches looked excellent. I mean, some of their football was exquisite. I think the manager's got a big decision to make. Does he bring in Firmino ahead of Jesus? I personally would. I thought he made a huge impact when he came off the bench last night. He's a terrific worker. So you'll be defending from the front when he plays. I think they'll still win their group. Spain play great football, but they conceded 3 goals. And I think this Piqué and Ramos, I think there's a bit of an underlying factor here. And they don't seem to look to be too comfortable at the minute. Germany, the pressure's on them now, you know.
Don't write them off, Lee.
No. And look, you can never write them off. But I was saying that even at halftime yesterday. I was expecting Germany to come out in the second half. Yes, they played better in the second 45 than the first 45. But I didn't think they'd done enough to merit winning the game, maybe getting a point. I still think it's going to come down to between probably Brazil, Spain. And I'm going to still stick with Uruguay. I think that was a huge win, beating Egypt 1-0 in the first game. And I think their path, if they win the group, should be a little bit easier.
I like the shout on Uruguay, because the one problem they have to fix is Suarez in front of goals. And if you back one person to get it right, it's going to be Luis Suarez. You mentioned Spain there as well. I had a 5 on them when they were 3-2 up against Portugal. I probably bet at just the wrong time, unfortunately. But I'm just going on to offtheball.com/boilsports. There's an unbelievable offer here for new customers.
Yeah, Spain to beat Iran, 10-1.
10-1,
for
right.
New customers. So you just go to offtheball.com/boilsports. If you don't have an account, you should have one, because Spain will beat Iran and you'll be getting a 10-1 winner.
Yeah, it's kind of like the offer last Friday, to the 25-1 on the
25-1 for any goal.
Yeah,
three minutes in
and you were quids in. So look, there's some great offers, and it's all really exclusive to Off the Ball. Patreon.com/BoyleSports.
Nice one, Liam. We'll chat to you again tomorrow with more betting from Boyle Sports. It is still scoreless between Sweden and South Korea. 10 minutes played there. One comment in on Facebook saying, how did he manage to get the Roy Keane 2002 World Cup shirt? One of the all-time great Ireland shirts. We'll explain to you that in just a moment. Darren Cleary will be joining us in studio. He brought that in to studio. In the meantime, here's some of John Giles from Thursday Night Football last week. He's a little bit sceptical about England's World Cup chances.
I don't fancy them in the World Cup. I'd probably get out of the group, but I don't fancy them to do well. I think so far he's been a very, very good PR man. I think he's done a very good job with the press, because sometimes the press can be on people's backs, like Sterling and that. I think he's done a very good job there.
You mean that in real? Because sometimes people would say he does a good job in the PR point of view, and it can be a negative that they're putting things out there. But actually, you feel that?
Yeah. I think there's the press where most of the players, Finn Alan Shearer's Ian Wright's article, it's better than being criticised before they even go. But that's one element of it, Nathan. The second element is what's going to happen on the pitch. I don't think he's actually done that very well, because he's gone from three at the back to four at the back, and the system. You know, the system, I keep hearing that the system, it's nothing to do with the system. It's getting your best players to play in the best position. It's a very easy tactic, as they say. And he's been doing the job for over 2 years now. And he should really, now coming into the recent times, has been four at the back and then three at the back. Mm. That should be, when you get the players that you know are the best, actually you play them as often as you can, Nathan, because now you've got to get them to play together. You've got to get them into the right habits and that. And that takes time. It takes time. I mean, I played with a very good lead, so I don't like to go back, very good lead, very well organised for 11 years under Don Revy. And we still weren't perfect. There were still things to learn. Bit by bit, that's how a manager does his job. To put the right back right on that, the left back right on that, right? Then somebody else right on that. Now, that's how the team gets better. You do it individually. Like you talk about Guardiola, who made the players better during the year. And obviously then the team gets better. Mm. But I haven't seen that with Southgate. There's too many changes, too many systems, there's too many just for the players to settle down.
John Giles there on Thursday Night Football last week, talking about England's chances this evening. They're up against Tunisia. It is a 7 o'clock kickoff. Before all that, it's Belgium against Panama at 4 o'clock. And the game that's currently underway is Sweden against South Korea, 12 minutes in, and it is still scoreless. South Korea holding their own there at the moment. They had a shout for a penalty, which was ruled out a few moments ago. The referee did not go to VAR for that. Darren Cleary, good afternoon.
Speaking of VAR.
Yeah, speaking of VAR, you brought gifts, and we've had a couple of comments in about it. And it's right over my shoulder here, this Roy Keane jersey. Do explain to us why this is very special.
Well, it's the jersey that we never got to see in the World Cup. That's not the actual jersey he was going to wear, because no one even knows if it actually managed to make its way to print. It is, I suppose, a reproduction from that era. So it would have been made in 2002. It's pretty limited. If you grab, you'll see the front of it there. It's actually unsponsored. And all throughout history, we've been saddled and lumbered with sponsored jerseys, and Irish football fans tend to hate replica jerseys with sponsors. They don't like them because they're not the same as the ones the players wear. So that one's pretty unique in that it's got Roy Keane's number on a Saipan jersey.
And no sponsor on the front.
And no sponsor on the front.
There you go.
How did you manage that?
I had a friend who was able to help me out get my hands on it. It's a really cool piece of history, because it is, I mean, we never saw it at the tournament. That jersey probably exists somewhere, maybe deep in the Umbro warehouse, but it never actually made it to the world.
If you ever see him, you should ask him to sign it.
I don't think he's great with doing autographs.
Okay.
Or meeting people.
Well,
or obliging in any way.
Diego Forlan and himself taking selfies there during the weekend.
He looked happy.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
Slaven Bilic touched him and he didn't kill him.
Oh, yeah, my God. But the looks he gives Bilic when he touches him are unbelievable.
Slaven Bilic then made him laugh. It was incredible. It's been some journey on the Roy Keane punditry trail. Who's been your pundit highlight so far?
Well, I mentioned Brian Kerr earlier.
Kerr is unbelievable. Or Dunphy confusing the Croatian players and saying that he's a bad defender, so Mandzukic will have a great day against him. I forgot that they're both Croatian. That was probably the highlight.
Yeah, it's one thing you're missing out on over there, John, is the punditry over here. The one thing you haven't been missing out on, obviously, is all the goals and stuff. And we've got our results in, John, and the listeners think and the viewers think that Ronaldo was goal of the weekend. Do you concur with that?
Oh, Ronaldo's free kick, without question. It was amazing. On Friday night, in the media centre up in Spartak, they had no analysis, which was fantastic for me. To be honest, I find it really refreshing that you can get your own analysis in your own head. You can digest your thoughts. You can decide what you saw, and then you can stick with it rather than trying to be influenced by Piper pundits that are only looking, some of them, for ratings. So, no analysis. They had the full match, and then they had about 20 replays of the each goal from every single conceivable camera angle that you could think of. So for Aziza Bouhadouz from Morocco, it was just like, I have to actually walk away. I couldn't watch any more angles of his own goal, his diving header, which was one of the best own goals you're ever going to see. But I was just felt so sorry for him. I had to walk away. But when Ronaldo's free kick was replayed 20 times from every single conceivable angle, I was like a goldfish, just like, mouth open. Like, he hits it so simply. He hits the ball so simply in real time. And De Gea, look, with the moment De Gea sees it, he knows it's in.
Yeah.
So it's one of these things. We all kind of, it's like a golfer with a putt. You think, like Jordan Spieth, is going to win the Open or the Masters. He's got 20-footer or 30-footer. And you kind of think, he's not going to get it, is he? And then he gets it. And I think that was that moment, those few seconds before Ronaldo took that free kick, when you think, he's not going to do it, is he? And then he does it. And you're just astonished and amazed. And not really surprised, because it's happened so many times. But of course, that was the goal of the weekend in terms of aesthetics. But the goal of the weekend, in another way, was Lozano's. Given what it meant for Mexico yesterday.
And it was a beautiful goal, a beautiful team goal. Listen, John, we're almost out of time. Where are you at the moment? I forgot to ask. It looks like a fairly fancy palace you're in.
Well, you know, I do have my contacts in Moscow. Actually, no, I'm in the lobby of the Hotel Metropole near Red Square here. So I've been kind of going around in my Segway, in imaginary Segway, you know, to find the various locations. Obviously, we're at St. Basil's Cathedral this morning, and now we're in the Hotel Metropole, you know, drinking some Earl Grey tea here, lads. So, off to do my research and to watch England later on this evening.
And watch Forrest Gump.
Moscow here.
Yeah, make sure you watch Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. I'll have to do the 30 for 30 box set, lads, first. The first thing when I come back home in a month's time, you know, I'll be like Robinson Crusoe. I'll be unshaven. You know, it'll be pretty. I'll need to, you know, some quarantine when I come back. But then there's the 30 for 30 box set. And then eventually, probably October, we'll see Forrest Gump.
Right, okay, well, we'll have that conversation in October, John. Enjoy the football today. It's still Sweden 0, South Korea 0. Enjoy the England collapse or the England hype train, whatever it may be. We'll chat to you tomorrow again.
Collapse.
Cheers, nice. Take care.
John Doganovic is what Kieran in the box is calling John there, which is what we're going to have to start calling him forever, really, for the rest of this. Darren here in studio, by the way, is the man behind, the creative genius behind the John Duggan titles at the start. I haven't given you credit for that before. Just a couple of comments before we wrap up. James on Facebook has said, weekend highlights, definitely Coutinho's goal for Brazil or Kolarov's for Serbia. Winners, definitely Mexico. Loser, obvious one is Messi, but Argentina could struggle to get out of the group now. And Isil Cody on Twitter says, World Cup commentary will be a much more dismal affair without the tones of Brian Kerr. He makes it, especially with his one-liners, including, they don't pull out, do they, those Serbian boys, hardy boys, to a deafening co-commentator silence. No, he has been an absolute champ so far during this, and there's no need to give any oxygen to the negative commentary surrounding this particular pundit at the weekend.
He's the best colour guy in the business, bar none, because he will inform you and entertain you. That's what the job is.
Yeah. What are you seeing tonight from England?
I think England will get through, okay. They're a likeable bunch, despite the terrible World Cup ad and the Beeb trying to burst their bubble. I have a feeling panic.
Like the World Cup ad?
No.
Why not?
It was terrible.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It was offensive. It was terrible. They just lost the run of themselves. Before a ball was kicked, they were celebrating winning the World Cup.
No, I thought you were talking about when they revealed their squad.
Oh no, that was terrible too.
What?
Everything they do with video is terrible. Don't give England a camera. It's just bad news. Just let them play football.
Well, that's more the BBC's fault, today's kind of the backup.
Yeah, it's still the same thing. I think Panama will get whacked today. I think that'll be a Russia 5-0 kind of job.
Right, okay. What are you calling for those?
Oh yeah, I think England will sneak a 1-0, and I'm thinking maybe 4-0 to Belgium, and Panama are going to get the first red card of the tournament.
Right, that's a good one, actually. There hasn't been a red card yet. We came sort of close yesterday in the Serbia game with that trailing arm, which, you know, common sense actually prevailed in that instance when they checked VAR, and they deemed it to be kind of a slap, warning a closed fist.
VAR a winner of the weekend?
Yes, without question. Without question.
Didn't get anything wrong, so.
I think as well,
it's improved the game.
The white stripes are the real winners of this World Cup.
Yeah, well, they are, you know. Do they get paid, I wonder, for every single time it plays? After every goal?
Before the game, entrance. And goals, everything.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, listen, we'll be focusing more on white stripes. More winners, more losers tomorrow. We're back on World Cup Daily from 12:30 tomorrow. The usual crew in studio. Just to bring you up to speed on what's happening in the game live at the moment. It's still Sweden 0, South Korea 0, 20 minutes gone in that one. Make sure to follow at Off The Ball on Twitter for updates on that throughout the afternoon. It's Belgium later on and England after that. Off The Ball will be live from 7 o'clock on News Talk this evening. We're back, as I say, from 12:30 tomorrow and OTB AM from 7:45 AM tomorrow morning. We'll chat to you then. Good luck.
Football on Off The Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.